You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. I'm Gavin Berry, and once again, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the Daily Record's Andy Newport, who's just hot-footed it from the airport after being in Servette last night, and Sunday Mail's chief football writer, Scott McDermott. And I'm delighted to say this week's special guest is Martin Wyfels. I hope I pronounced that right, Martin, from Algemeen Dagblad. Is that right?
Yeah, Algemeen Dagblad. Yes.
Is that right? Is that a good effort?
Yeah.
Was that a good effort?
Yeah, you did well. You did well. Yeah. Everybody understands it.
Great. So Andy watched Rangers get the all-important 1-1 draw with Servette last night in Geneva. That takes Rangers into the playoff round of the Champions League. And of course, PSV Eindhoven, a slightly more convincing win over two legs against Sturm Graz. PSV didn't have to sweat in the same way Rangers did. And I'm not just talking about the temperature, Andy, over there. So it's a repeat of last season, exact same stage. Rangers won on that occasion, Martin. I think the final whistle had hardly blown. And PSV Eindhoven tweeted, "It's time for revenge." Is that the feeling? Is that the feeling in the PSV camp? Is it all about revenge?
Yeah, definitely. And they were happy that they got Rangers and not Servette. Not because of strength differences, but the sentiment, the feeling that it's time for revenge, and they think they have a better chance than last year because there are a couple of differences. We shall talk about it, I think. But yeah, interesting. Eh? The same tie, the same away and home matches. So yeah, it's all the same, and. Yeah, everybody's looking forward to it.
Yeah. Were you surprised at just how convincing it was for PSV Eindhoven against Sturm Graz? And how much was that to do with PSV Eindhoven being impressive and Sturm Graz perhaps not being the strongest opposition?
No, because Sturm Graz wasn't the strongest opposition. They played PSV before. I think it was 2 years ago. And they played Feyenoord last year. And both ties were convincingly won by the Dutch team. So before this round, everybody thought already that PSV would qualify. So, well, that happened. And what was it? 2-7 on the score over two matches. So that was no problem at all.
Yeah. Just finally from me for now, Martin, you say there's a lot of differences from last season. Before the tie last year, there was a lot of talk around Cody Gapko going. He stayed for the Rangers tie. Rangers still got through. And then now we read this morning, Ibrahim Sangare, who scored at Ibrox and was excellent in that home game, saying that possibly in the next couple of days, Bayern Munich could step up their bid to get him. Do you expect him still to be a PSV player by the time of the Rangers game?
Well, PSV signed officially today Jerdy Schouten, a player from Bologna in Italy, and he is already signed as a replacement for Sangare. So if Sangare goes, they have a good replacement for the Rangers matches. But yeah, I don't know. At this moment, PSV can ask 37 million euros for Sangare because that is the clause he has in his contract. So, well, I will not be surprised if they wait until the Rangers games are played to sell him maybe in the last weeks of the window. Yeah, it depends. If Bayern München really wants a player like that, well, they will get him, but at this moment, he's still a PSV player, and nothing nothing concrete has happened.
Martin, how big a blow would that be to PSV if they lost Sangare for the Rangers games? And I know you say they've got a good replacement, but he's a big player for them.
Yeah, he is a big player for them, but the replacement will fit even more in the tactics of the new coach, Peter Bos. So if that Jordi Schouten, who has already played in Holland, so he knows also the league and the country, so I don't think he needs a lot of adaptation time. So I think it will not influence the chances of PSV in that tie.
You said there's a lot of differences from last year. What are the main differences? Why do you think PSV believe that they can get revenge and they will do it this time?
Well, the most important difference is that they have a new coach, and Peter Bos knows exactly how he will play. He's an experienced coach. He's almost 60 years old. He played Rangers with Bayer Leverkusen in European ties. And he has already in a couple of weeks set the team to his standards and to what he wants, how they play football. And last season, they had Ruud van Nistelrooy, was his first job as a senior on senior level. And in the home match, Giovanni van Bronckhorst, the coach of Rangers, said afterwards, "We thought in the first 30 minutes, PSV will do everything to score. They will get the crowd behind them. They will make a storm." But nothing of that happened. Rangers got the ball, and afterwards in the PSV camp, everybody said, "Well, we didn't know exactly how to handle the match. Will we attack? Will we go back?" And now there will be no no doubt at all how to play, and that will be a big difference. And I think the Rangers played Ajax in the Champions League, and they were, I think, the second match at Ibrox. Rangers had, I think, 24% of the ball possession. And, well, we will see, I don't know exactly the same, but PSV will also have the ball and try to attack in both matches. And what I say, there will be no doubt how to handle this game. And last year there was.
Martin, you mentioned obviously there Peter Bos. I mean, he's a figure who's fairly well known in Glasgow. Now I think this is his third time he's come up against Rangers, also in charge of Lyon when they came to Ibrox as well.
Yeah,
how is he being, viewed by the PSV fans? Has he been impressing them so far? How are they viewing his work, his early work?
Yeah, well, they see him in the first. PSV wanted the transition this season. They wanted to play more attacking football, more to please the crowd, and until this moment they do. They won the Super Cup at Feyenoord in Rotterdam, played dominant football there. They won the two games in Europe, and Bos he brought a smile back on the faces of the players and in the crowd, and maybe also an important Luc de Jong, the captain and the main striker. Last season in the Rangers game in Eindhoven, he got injured. At halftime, they had to substitute him. And that was also a big loss. And then in that period, he came back from a spell with Barcelona. And he was not fully fit. And now he has, in the first four games, he has 3 goals and 1 assist. And now he's fit, and well, he will play also an important role, and that's also a factor in the coming matches.
Obviously, I was in Eindhoven last year for that game, and we remember there's some comments afterwards from Joey Veerman. He wasn't particularly happy with the way that the game panned out. Didn't feel that Rangers deserved to go through. I mean, does that, you think that adds all into this sort of feeling that the team are out for revenge, that they've got a point to prove because of the way things panned out last year?
Yeah, well, they have. And there's one more thing that was last season, the teams made a different approach here. Rangers played on in the Scottish League and PSV got a week off. And afterwards, I remember that Giovanni van Bronckhorst said, well, I think we made the right decision to play on, stay in the focus. And at PSV, the game against Rangers on the training field, it became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the pressure was rising. And it will be interesting this time. Rangers plays on, I think, and PSV chooses again for a week off. Yeah. But said that they have another coach now. I think he will take that also in consideration, that he has to get off the loath of the match. So. I'm curious to see what he will do.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
How much pressure is on PSV to qualify, Martin? I mean, in Glasgow, we always say there is huge pressure on the Old Firm clubs to reach the group stages. But, no, as you're saying, PSV want revenge. They believe they can beat Rangers this time. But are they putting themselves under even more pressure? And what's it like in Holland? How much pressure is on them to get into the group stages?
Well, there is, because normally the number two of the Dutch league, I think in the last 20 seasons or something, they qualified only once or twice. So it's been a long time. It's been a long time that PSV got in Champions League. I think the last time was in 2018. Yeah, so that's 5 years ago. Eh? So the pressure is on, and they made a lot of investments this summer. So if they don't reach the Champions League group stage, well, they have to sell a player again. So the pressure is on.
Do you think the team, the PSV team, is stronger this year, Martin? I know you're saying the manager you feel is maybe stronger and more equipped and more experienced, but you think they've lost Gakpo, they've lost Simons, you know, De Jong is a year older. Do you think the team is as strong now as it was last year?
Maybe individually speaking, I don't know if they are stronger, but as a team, knowing what to do together, they can be a little bit stronger. The only thing is that the defense, that didn't change a lot. Yeah. And that's also the Achilles heel of PSV. And I'm sure that Rangers, well, they will focus on that. And it will be interesting. They have three players who played in the Dutch league before, three attackers. And for example, Danilo played PSV last season also. So, I think they will try to take advantage of that. And in total, I think PSV will be as a team will be stronger. Even
Martin, you've obviously added the squad's of PSV have obviously added Malik Tillman to their squad this year. I mean, what sort of impact do you see him making? Is he expected to play a big role in the months ahead?
Yeah, he didn't play yet, only in the second team, one match last Monday. but yeah, well, I can imagine he will play a role too. But we haven't seen him at this moment, so we don't know if he's at what level he came in. But Yeah, what I remember from the games of last season, he had a big influence. He made the goal in Eindhoven, I think. Eh? It was him,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, will be also interesting. You have at Rangers side a couple of players who know PSV, and at PSV side you have a player who played last season in the Rangers squad. So, yeah, it's a fantastic tie to. With a lot of different angles for us to ride on, write about.
Great. Okay, Martin, well, thanks very much for joining us. We can look forward to the first leg next week, and you will see Andrew in Eindhoven.
Very good. Looking forward to it. And
you can tell me where the cheap beer is, because I've just come back from Geneva, and there is no cheap beer in Geneva, so you need to tell me where the cheap pubs are.
Okay, well, I will do that.
Good man.
Thank you, good Martin. Luck.
Thanks, Martin.
All right. Bye.
Andy, going back to the game last night, let's rewind our Swiss clock. sorry for the puns.
Yeah, he's good. I like that.
How do you think, obviously, game of two halves, proverbial game of two halves. First half, nowhere near at it. Second half, much better. Just in terms of the manner of the way they got through, it was gutsy, things didn't go their way. How much will that benefit Michael Beale at a stage when he's got all these new players and he's trying to sort of implement a style just to make them believe?
Yeah, I sort of wrote that in my match report, that just in terms of unifying this squad, this was a match where they really had to sort of dig in and act as a team. And I agree with you, the first half, I actually thought they started really well for it. The first sort of 5-6 minutes, they were on top. But then as soon as there was that early chance that obviously Jack Butland has to make the save from, I think it's Cognac, it just seemed to take a bit of the belief away from them. They seemed to sit off Servette after that. And obviously they lose the goal. John Souter just doesn't deal with a long ball up to the striker. And the team's a bit hesitant getting out to the second ball, and Servette punished them. It was a great finish, and then Jack Butland has to make another crucial save just before half time. And I think you saw the experience that Rangers do have in their team sort of come to the fore in the second half. I thought once they get back level on the night and ahead in the tie, you just saw their experience come into play. And Servette, I mean, that was only their fifth European tie in the last decade, and they just don't have the same nous, the same experience that Rangers do. I think the pressure of having to force the issue was too much of a toll with them. You saw them; they were constantly passing the ball out of the park. They couldn't build that sustained pressure that would have really tested Rangers' nerve. And I think that's why this will be a big night for Michael Beale's team, because that was a game that was primed for them to fall flat on their faces. I mean, I don't think any of us think of Swiss football as being a particular hotbed of, in terms of passionate fans, but it was quite a loud atmosphere in there, and it's this type of thing that type of occasion that you could see teams wilting in. And I thought the fact that Rangers were able to stand strong in that, were able to withstand all, the things against them, the heat, the pitch was sticky, as I say, the noise, the atmosphere, I think that'll do this team a world of good, just in getting that belief back. I mean, there has been times that this season when they played well, but obviously there's been times where it just hasn't clicked at all. And I think this team, Michael Beale's spoken about it often enough. He just needs the team to start, believing themselves a bit more, do the things that he's asking them to, and you'll see that progress. So I think he'll just be hoping that, to survive a test like that. Yeah, I know Servette aren't the biggest challenge they're going to face, but on the occasion and in the circumstances, I think it was an important result and an important performance as well.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Michael Beale said after the game, Scott, at halftime, the players weren't sticking to the game plan. How much of it do you think it's the game plan or the players not sticking to the game plan? What do you think? Because there were, Neil McCann, and Alan Hutton, who were doing it for BBC, were picking out holes in the tactical approach, like a bit like you've spoken about the lack of width and different things.
Yeah.
In previous ones, no support for Danilo. It came later, in the game, but saying he's not really a kind of lone striker. Was the first half more to do with the actual plan as opposed to players not carrying it out?
Probably a bit of both, Gav. I think it was just a clear example of where Rangers are at the moment, in terms of them being a new team, a new squad that's been put together. Michael Beale's still trying to figure out what his best system, formation, what the best plan is. I agreed with most of the stuff the pundits said on TV last night. I thought the change in system midway through the first half was actually detrimental to Rangers. Like Andy said, I thought they actually started the game reasonably well. There was a lack of support for Danilo, but I thought Sima was causing enough of a problem out wide with his pace, and Cantwell was kind of giving you the balance on the other side because he's obviously going to drift infield and try and play a bit more. Clearly, Beale felt, and he was right, that Servette were getting far too much space in the counter-attack in the middle of the pitch, and he tried to narrow it and tried to squeeze it by changing to that diamond. But to Servette's credit, they then just switched and started going down the sides, and Rangers couldn't deal with that either. So I think he's still finding it about these players, finding out what the best system, what suits them, different players in different positions. And to Rangers' credit and to Beale's credit, he fixed it at half-time. And as you've touched on there, they were far better in the second half, tactically far better. They kind of shifted 5-10 yards up the pitch. There was far more cohesion to certainly to their attacking play. And as Andy touched on earlier, I totally agree with him. It felt like a big moment last night. I know the opposition weren't great, but it felt last night like the first, you saw the first signs of this team coming together. And to get through that, particularly when Servette score and the crowd get up, and then at the end as well when they're pushing for that equaliser, I think it'd have been easy for this new Rangers team to crumble and maybe lose a late goal and get into extra time. But I actually felt as if they did really well, and I thought, listen, we know the strikers haven't hit it off yet. I don't think any of them have set their head on fire, and there's still question marks over all of these, the four new guys that have come in. But at least you saw the strength of the squad last night. It was able to put Dessers and Lammers on, and it gave them something different. Even putting Dowell on. I thought Sterling, I've only seen a couple of cameos for Sterling at the weekend and then last night, but I immediately thought that he would bring something to Rangers, whether it's going in as he did last night into a back three. On Saturday, he actually came on at right back, and Tavernier pushed into midfield, even though it was only 5-10 minutes. But I think Sterling looks as if he's going to offer some real kind of strength defensively, whether that's at fullback or, as I say, as a kind of right centre back. So I think they deserve a lot of credit for getting through. As Andy says, it's nothing to. You're not going to kind of crow about it in terms of the level of opposition you're facing. But in terms of where this team are at the moment, in those conditions, in those circumstances, to get through that tie, and Andy used the word unifying, I think that will really bring them together last night. And there were other big plus points. Jack Butland, as Andy mentioned, was also that was a big night for him. The kind of first real performance where he's kind of stamped his authority on it as Rangers' kind of new number one. I thought he did brilliantly. You can't underestimate the importance of that save early on.
I think you saw in the second half just how much faith the back line had in them. They were able, in terms of defending free kicks, they were a couple of yards further up, just leaving that space in behind, knowing that if somebody gets in, he'll take care of it. And I think that's what happens when a defence realises they've got a goalkeeper that they can trust. And, so I wrote my match report that, it was a save that Alan McGregor, would have been proud of, the first one. It's the sort of thing that he built his career on. And this is very early in Jack Butland's, Rangers career. But the other type of things that, you know, Rangers need from their goalkeepers. You know, there's going to be games, going to be moments. You know, imagine PSV are going to need the goalkeeper to be right on top of his form. I think that'll just do the defence's confidence, the defence's faith in the goalkeeper a world of good. And it was a huge night for him, especially.
I thought the other big positives, Andy, I mean, aside from, we're talking about the strikers, you know, struggling a bit and still to prove themselves, but I really like the look of Raskin and Cifuentes in midfield. And Raskin probably had a better game last night. I thought the second half he was outstanding, but Cifuentes, to me, looks as if he can do everything. I mean, it's very early in his Rangers career. I love the fact that he does the simple things brilliantly in midfield. I thought he was key last night when they tinkered with the system and they had to go a bit wider, you know, doing that shift from inside to outside right. I thought he was brilliant. His attitude looks really good. I'd almost like to see him. No, it might happen Saturday, maybe not, but I'd like to see him as a kind of sitter in midfield to see if he can actually control a game, no, control a midfield on his own. But he certainly looks capable. And I think in Cifuentes, Raskin and Cantwell, that's a really strong midfield for Rangers moving forward. Obviously, you've got guys like Dowell and Ryan Jack and Hadji on the periphery as kind of backup, John Lundstrom as well. But those three, if you can get them fit and firing and on form, that really bodes well for Rangers this season, I would think.
The performance that really stood out for me, and because it came at a time in the game where the team wasn't playing well, was Todd Cantwell. A time when the team was under a bit of the cosh and it needed guys to step up and take responsibility, take the ball in tight areas and just get them up the park a bit, just to relieve some of that pressure that Servette were just bit by bit starting to build. And I thought he did that superbly. He was so brave at times. You know, trapped. There was a part in the first half just down in front of us in the press box where he had three guys around him. He didn't panic. He made sure he wriggled out, got a pass and got the team moving. And it's just unfortunate. I think it worked its way out to Tavernier on the other side and it bounced out. But I just felt that, you know, for a guy that gets so much stick at times from all directions, I think, you know, the character of him is so impressive. And I think he's really becoming the sort of beating heart of this team. And I still struggle to get my head around why Michael Beale felt he wasn't right for that first game at Kilmarnock. Because for me right now, he's just simply undroppable. I just think he's the one guy in that team that you can depend on every single week at this moment. As you say, Cifuentes, I think it looks a real class act. It'll be good to see him just as he gels and gets to know his teammates. I thought Raskin, I thought he was a wee bit erratic in the first half. Some of his distribution, some of his passing wasn't quite on it. He got stripped of possession a couple of times. But as you say, the work rate in the second half, just when Rangers needed to up the tempo, up the pressure on Servette, outwork them, outrun them, that came from him. And then, you know, I also think Borna Barisic deserves a lot of credit. You know, again, you know, he got a bit of stick at the first day of the season. He got a bit of stick at from the, you know, certain sections of the crowd at the weekend against Livingston. But I thought the two games against Servette, he was excellent. And obviously the cross for the goal was just absolutely, you know, it's what he sort of built his early part of his Rangers reputation on. It was an absolute peach for Tavernier just to nod in at the back post.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, also continues to get stick, doesn't he? I mean, and he just keeps popping up with moments like that, doesn't he? I mean, do you think it won't be until he's left that he's fully appreciated?
Listen, I think he started the season pretty poorly, performance-wise. I said it when we were on here after the Hoffenheim friendly, when he'd won the worst. But that game summed him up. I think I said that at the time. He'd such a poor game, and yet he scores a penalty and sets up the goal for Lammers in the second half. So he's still to get into kind of top gear listen, we all know his defensive kind of frailties at times, but as you say, Gav, I mean, what can you say about, you know, goals and assists and popping up with big moments?
That's 18 for him in Europe now. I mean, that's him, what, third in the list? I mean, I think he only needs three more. And he goes level with Ali McCoist. I mean, we're talking about a right-back here. I mean, I know he's been here for, what, six, seven, 8 years now, but, I mean, a right-back to be, you know, outscoring potentially, you know, the club's record goal scorer is just, you know.
I don't know if you agree, but I think Sterling coming in will be good for Tavernier. Yeah. I think he needs somebody kind of breathing down his neck. He's not had it often enough at Rangers, you know, maybe for a short spell when Nathan Patterson kind of burst onto the scene. But I think Sterling will put pressure on him in terms of right back. And also, as I said, I could see them going to a back three at times away from home in Europe, or when they're trying to close a game out. And Sterling came on at right centre back last night and looked as if he could do a job. And if they do that more often, maybe in away games in Europe or even big games here, I think it actually frees Tavernier up, you know, a bit more to push forward, you know, and get goals and assists. So I just think Sterling coming in could be a real important signing, not just for the team as a whole, but for Tavernier individually as well.
He's 31 as well. I mean, James Tavernier, I mean, and he's... Since Steven Gerrard's time at the club, he's played every single game practically. You know, there's so few examples of when he's been given that opportunity to rest his legs. And I think at 31 now, it's unrealistic to expect him to hit the physical numbers, you know, the runs forward. I mean, and, you know, Michael Beale spoke about that last night. He had to, at half-time, say to Tavernier and Barisic, you need to go, but you need to let the handbrake off and get yourselves further forward. We need you guys to provide the width. So, you know, perhaps, you know, it's a bit like Ryan Jack, you know, he's been sort of dipped in and out of the team, picking his moments, picking the big games, giving him the afternoon off, and it's, you know, the challenge isn't going to be quite as onerous. And I think, you know, you could potentially be looking at doing that with Tavernier. And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the very small snippets we've seen of Sterling, I like it. I mean, he's got a look about him. He carries himself like a guy that is assured of himself and knows that, you know, he's ready to play at this sort of level. So, you know, I think that bodes well. But I agree with you. I don't think he's been quite his usual self, but I think there's reasons for that. And I think it's only to be expected. You know, as you say, he's probably past the peak of his career. He needs somebody that's going to either push him or is going to be able to give him that sort of respite and allow him to sort of put his feet up and recharge.
What do you do with Barisic, though? I mean, you're right, he was brilliant last night, and I've been as critical as Andy of him and probably thought this summer his time's up at Rangers, know what to see more of Yilmaz or even sign another left back. But with a year left in his deal, I mean, what do you think Michael Beale's thinking? Did they offer him a new deal? Did they just let him run this year out, and then, you know, you lose him for nothing next summer, and the knowledge that he's been a really good value signing? What do you think?
All the mood music has been from him. I think he spoke over the summer that he wanted to sign a new deal. So I think you just throw the gauntlet down at him. You say, if you want a new contract, earn it. So you say to him, you know, perhaps not allow it get to the sort of Christmas stage where they can start signing, but you say to him over the next 3-4 months, if you perform well enough, if we think that you're, you know, back to your best, then we'll give you a deal, and you just throw it back to him and, you know, allow him to go and, you know, play his way into a new contract. I think that would probably be the fairest way of looking at it. If he can't do that, then you've seen all you need to see of him, and you start planning elsewhere. Obviously, they've got Yilmaz there. I expect him to come back into the team at some point. But, you know, Borna Barisic, if he plays like he did last night, I don't think Yilmaz takes that jersey off.
No.
He has to play like that, and not just the big games. He has to play week in, week out, and it's the defence. I mean, what impressed me last night was that he was so tuned in defensively. There was times where balls in behind him and he was alert to it. And obviously, we've seen times, especially in Old Firm games, where he's just been caught in the blind side far too many times. So, for me, if he can play like that last night, then yeah, I think he deserves another. I'm not saying you're giving him a 2 or 3 year deal. You certainly could give him another 12 months, but I think you have to put the challenge to him. Play your way into a new contract.
Yeah, he's only 30. It's not
I think Andy's right in terms of, I think the chance for Barisic is to go, you know, play in the Premier League and stuff like that, which he might have had an opportunity a few years ago when he was in the Croatia team and stuff like that. I think that's probably gone now. So where does he go after Rangers? Possibly back to Croatia.
Yeah,
anywhere's going to be a downward kind of step, probably. So I just think that dynamics interests me. I probably agree with Andy. I mean, I was talking to somebody last night about it, and they said the same thing. I think you just say to him, look, no, for the next 6 months, no, earn a new deal. And when we get to Christmas and that, when he's able to go and talk to other clubs, that's maybe when Rangers will say, well, listen, no, I've been really impressed with, you know, recent performances, so here's another year, or here's another year with an option or whatever. Or the flip side of that is they decide in January, look, no, it's not been great, we're going to look at other options, and at that point, he's obviously able to kind of sort out his own future. So, but he does look like a guy with a bit between his teeth.
Yeah.
Again, he looks like a guy who's been told, you know, go and show us what you can do and earn a new deal, whereas, you know, maybe a year, 18 months ago, or even in the last year, he looked like a guy in a bit of a comfort zone on his way down and his way out of Rangers. But as I say, he was impressive last night.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how you saw next week. That's going to be a huge game at Ibrox next Tuesday, first leg against PSV. So just before you both go, in a word, will Rangers reach the group stage?
Yes.
Yes.
Great stuff, nice and
positive. Gav, I just on PSV quickly. I touched on it with Martin there. I've heard a lot of people, you know, before this Servette tie or before the second leg saying, no, even if Rangers get through, I mean, PSV will take 3, 4, 5 off them. I just don't see that. I mean, I don't see any. I know Martin's right in terms of the manager. I think Peter Bosch is a big upgrade on Van Nistelrooy, who was in his first gig.
Yeah.
But as a touchstone where I'm there, when I look at their team, you know, they've lost big players. The defenders that they had last year that didn't look that great, you know, the guys that sold the goal, Benitez, the keeper, and is it Ramalho, the centre-back, who Tillman robbed to set up Chola. These guys are all still there.
Yep.
Yeah, they've brought one or two in, but nothing to frighten Rangers, I don't think. And Rangers are still a work in progress, but I think it'll be very, very tight. But I've just got a feeling, as we said earlier, that was a big moment for Rangers last night. And I think if Rangers can get a lead, you know, say if Rangers get a 2-goal lead in the first leg at Ibrox, then I think they would be through. I don't think they would fear going to Eindhoven.
Great. Right, okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Once again, we'll see. We'll pick you up on that next week, Scott.
When you get beat 3-0.
Right, okay. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, boys.